Gopi Jana Balaba Giravarid Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giravarid Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Bhavraja Kachara Sotera Sada Shri Shimra Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Garanga. Namo Vishambaraya Krishna Vasaya Buddhade Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Sarasati Gauravani Paterni Nivashesha Srinivadi Pashtas Hadis Eternity Jaya Prabhupada. Well, this is the 29th of December. We're getting very close to New Year's. We have just passed Christmas. And New Year's is always an interesting time. It's a time of change. Often for many people, it's a review of the past year, looking forward to the future of the next year, predictions of what will happen. And many people pursue the age-old pastime of New Year's resolutions. It was interesting that Mukhi was just announcing today that on the New Year's program that we're having here at the temple, New Year's resolutions is part of that. Because devotees also like to make resolutions. Of course, their resolutions tend to be how they can advance in Krishna consciousness or they can serve better and things like that, hear and chant, those sort of things. But many, many people have resolutions. They want to change. They want to improve. They have some purpose that they want to try to achieve. And often these are very challenging and they are difficult to achieve because they require determination. And many people's New Year's resolutions end about January 15th, right? So today, what does this have to do with Krishna consciousness? We're going to discuss spiritual resolution, determination, and its relationship to the concept of faith. So we're going to read the verse today, and I'm just going to read the first three paragraphs of the purport because it's rather long. So today's verse. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hyanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. Now in the word, it's word for word up there. In the word for word, you notice the first word here, vyavasayatmika buddhir, is really very important. Pretty much the essence of this verse is around this particular Sanskrit word, which Prabhupada is describing here as resolute in Krishna consciousness, or resolute determination sometimes. Okay, so we'll go to the, hopefully. Okay, let's just go to the translation. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one, O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called vyavasayatmika intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 2262, states, Shraddha Shabde Vishvasa Kahi Sadridha Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita Hoya. It's not here translated, but the translation the Prabhupada gave from that verse in CC is Shraddha, faith, is confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Such faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. So continuing with the purport, I love this next sentence. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. Very, very nice definition of faith. Unflinching trust in something sublime. Sublime, of course, means something beyond the material, beyond the ordinary, something quite extraordinary, spiritual, basically. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruit of activities are the engagement of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he needs no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva or Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches, so by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Very nice verse and purport here. So this verse describes this idea of the resolute purpose and steady intelligence, this vyavasayatmika buddhi. Now this time of year, one often finds, I wrote in my notes, one often finds articles in a newspaper discussing resolutions. Some of you younger people remember what newspapers are, those paper things that you hold. I was one of the last 10 people in the United States to actually have a physical newspaper, I think. Anyway, if you go on the internet, you'll find that people talk about discussing resolutions, or keeping them, or how to keep them, what kind of resolutions. It's a very, very big thing. I mean, even here in the temple, we're talking about forming resolutions for the new year and offering those resolutions to Krishna. So to have a resolution requires knowledge, requires determination, and the Prabhupada's talking about faith. So what is that faith? Well, we have everyone who has a sincere idea to make a resolution or to try to change or try to do something to improve their life, they have faith that the goal is worth achieving, and then they also have faith that the goal is achievable, right? I mean, you have to be motivated to do something. This is actually part of motivational theory. There has to be not only that there's value of the thing you're looking for, going for, but there also has to be a reasonable expectation of success, right? Otherwise, you just give up. So in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada is saying that that purpose or that faith is that serving Krishna or doing or performing bhakti is sufficient for all purposes. That if we serve Krishna, everything is taken care of. So that's not based on any gimmick shortcuts or newspaper or internet tips. It's a very profound idea that we'll discuss more today. I was going to say, everyone is looking for a purpose to life. Actually, not everyone does look for a purpose to the life. Some people just seem to live their lives kind of automatically, just kind of going from one day to the next, from one thing to enjoy to the next, and don't have really much sense of a purpose. But most intelligent people do. People who are a little bit thoughtful, a little bit intelligent, they want to know, what is my purpose in life? What am I meant to, why am I here? What am I meant to do? What is the greatest good, perhaps, that I can achieve? Not everyone thinks this way, but some people do. The purpose might just be in one's work, one's occupation, or one's family. Or one might go a little further and want to help others and have some charity or like that. So an intelligent person tends to see beyond their immediate interest, beyond what's just right in front of them, and looking at the larger picture and going beyond that self-interest. In fact, it's kind of interesting that some examples that we have seen recently are extremely wealthy people. I mean, you think of people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, who are billionaires. They're actually giving, I don't know how many billions Bill Gates is giving to charity, but it's a huge amount, isn't it? Like 50 billion or something? I don't know. It's very, you know, in other words, why? He's got all this money. Why does he want to give it away? He's obviously not finding satisfaction just making money. He knows there's got to be something greater than that. In history, we had a wonderful example of this, a man named Andrew Carnegie. You might have heard of him. He was a big steel magnate in the late 1800s, around the turn of the century. At one point, I think he was considered the richest man in the world. And then, about midway through his life, he decided to start giving his money away. And he gave away about $350 million, which is over $11 billion in today's dollars. And he had a slogan, he said, one who dies rich, it dies disgraced. In other words, to have all this money and just take it with you to the grave, he said that was disgraceful. In other words, use your money while you're alive. Use it to help others. Well, Carnegie's big thing was libraries. He actually built over 2,300 libraries in America. I came from a little town called DeKalb, Illinois. And then we have our local library, big stone building, and carved there in the stone is Carnegie Library. You know, I mean, it was really something that he did, that he accomplished something. But was that really his purpose in life? Was that the highest thing he could achieve? Now, what we're learning here in this verse from Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada's purport is that knowledge of one's purpose in life is called vyavasayatmika buddhi, resolute fixed intelligence, and that leads to faith. Prabhupada talks right in the beginning in his purport about faith. And he defines it as faith means unflinching trust in something sublime, which is beyond the material concept, and unflinching. It's not dissuaded. It's not easily given up. And in fact, many of our acharyas written, in Bhagavatam and other places, with different classes of devotee like Kanishtha, Majjhima, and Uttamadikara discussed, one of the distinctions in one's spiritual advancement is one's degree of faith. Where a newer person, a neophyte devotee, as we say, his faith is really not very strong. And someone comes along with a better argument, and they might be, oh, that sounded pretty good. Maybe this Krishna consciousness isn't true. Where the next level devotee who's a little more advanced, he may not perfectly know the philosophy so that he can defeat everybody and like that, you know, but his or her faith is not shaken. Right. I mean, even if I can't convince somebody, doesn't mean that I believe, you know, their particular philosophy. No, one is very, becomes strongly fixed in one's understanding of Krishna consciousness. So there needs to be faith, but faith is not blind. And Prabhupada would make this point many times. Faith has to be based upon spiritual knowledge, the scriptures, reason and logic. So that's there as well. So two things are needed. Prabhupada made this statement several times. There are many references to it in different lectures and different discussions and talks with people. He quoted this several times. He said, religion without philosophy is sentimental, and philosophy without religion is dry mental speculation. Okay? Religion without philosophy is just sentiment, but philosophy without religion is mental speculation, or it can simply be dry logic. Okay? So, Without philosophy and knowledge, we only have sentiment. If faith is not based on knowledge, it can be changed, right? So that is why we study these scriptures, why we study this philosophy. We read Bhagavad Gita, we read Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we have strong understanding that helps to keep our faith strong, right? If faith is not based on knowledge, it can easily be changed. It can even be dangerous. I mean, there's all kinds of faiths. In fact, the divisions of faith are there in the Bhagavad Gita. There's faith in the different modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. I may have strong faith in my religion, which leads me to think that I need to become a terrorist and blow people up and kill innocent women, children. Now, that's a kind of faith, but it's tamasic. Very, very deep ignorance. That's faith in the mode of ignorance, where faith in the mode of goodness would be more something that would be uplifting, helpful, you know, towards people in a very different way. So faith in itself without good strong foundation isn't enough. And while there must be a very sound practical philosophy, there must also be the religion part. And that means faith, love, the whole realm of spiritual emotion. And Prabhupada has also said in one morning walk, he said, religion also means knowledge of God. So if that spiritual basis is not there, then what do you have? Mental speculation, dry theory, simply so many words, you know, so much discussion back and forth, you know, with very little feeling or heart. So it's like we need the head and the heart, right? We need the philosophy and we need the spirituality. We need the religion. We need the inner feeling that Krishna consciousness brings about. So I think this mental speculation is an interesting word Prabhupada uses a lot. I mean, of course, when we say mental speculation, we're talking about just coming up with all kinds of different theories and ideas sort of based upon just my own mind, my fertile imagination, rather than based upon scripture or based upon, you know, any sound foundation. So speculation, interesting thing. I was in a bookstore once many years ago, not that many years ago, and there was a whole section. It was called speculative fiction. So that was odd because I thought all fiction was speculative, but apparently it means fantasy or something like, you know, like that, so I don't know. But mental speculation is considered a good thing by many people. It's considered to be intelligent, to be creative, to think of how many new ideas can you come up with that no one has ever thought of before. How many ideas do you think are out there that no one in the history of the universe has never thought of? Probably few to none, right? In other words, you know, it's pretty much all been thought of, it's all been said, it's all been, you know, I mean, you can put it together in different ways, and that's generally what they do. In academia, everyone must have a new theory. You have to be engaged in critical thinking. I know when I was doing my doctoral dissertation, it said that you had to add to the existing body of knowledge. You had to do something new. Well, to be honest with you, in some of these areas, there's just not a lot new out there. So what you do is you get some little minutia. Well, this research was done on this idea and this theory, but it wasn't really done with this particular group of people. And, you know, I mean, it's like it gets down to, you know, to almost to who cares. And, you know, a lot of academia and research is like that. It becomes just an academic mental speculation, which doesn't really get to the truth. It doesn't really get to what's really important, what's meaningful to people, what's really there within our heart as far as understanding our spiritual life and our relationship with God. So both need to be there. Srila Prabhupada speaks of faith in this purport right immediately. It's the first thing he talks about. Because that idea of a resolute purpose or determination must be based upon faith. If faith isn't there, you are not going to have the determination to stick with something, to go forward with it, to perform a particular spiritual practice or sadhana without some faith in it. So how does one obtain that faith, might be the next question. If you need faith to have purpose and determination, where does it come from? Well, we learn, especially from Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhaktivedanta Samrita Sindhu, 1.4.15, Adau Shadha Tata Sadhu Sangota Bhajana Kriya, and etc. Adau Shadha. In the beginning, there is faith. Rupa Goswami, who is really our acharya, our teacher of the practice of devotional service, right, of Abhideya. He's the Abhideya Acharya. He teaches us how we engage in devotional service. And he says there must be faith, and then he goes through the steps, the processes of how that faith expands and grows in association with devotees, to beginning the practice, the sadhana of devotional service, and then how one becomes stronger in that determination, becomes steady, becomes fixed, starts to develop a real taste for Krishna consciousness and an attraction, and then eventually becomes more advanced and experiences bhava and prema, which are very, very high levels of understanding love of God, of really having relationship connection with God. And it goes sequentially, usually. Actually, acharyas say it's the usual process. Sometimes it's not exactly, but usually this is the process, or the stages go in this way. And it begins with Shraddha, begins with faith. Although it's interesting, because Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on this particular verse of Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, talks about that association with devotees actually precedes faith. He says, in the beginning, a Tao, by hearing scriptures in association with devotees, one attains faith. Shraddha means trust or confidence. Then after faith appears, again association with devotees takes place, sadhu sangha, for learning how to practice bhakti. So one of the things that we learn in our bhakti scriptures is the importance of association of devotees, the importance of learning from those who are more advanced in Krishna consciousness. And of course, from the spiritual master or the guru is probably the most important person that we learn from, that we understand the principles of Krishna consciousness and also the practice of Krishna consciousness. But that also comes from other senior devotees as well, along with the spiritual master. So that faith will continue to develop in association with devotees, and as we advance in Krishna consciousness, one of the things that happens is that faith doesn't just drop away, like that was stage one, and now we go on to the other stage, but faith is always there. And in fact, faith becomes deeper and becomes more, more real. It becomes more realized. It becomes something that becomes very ingrained within the person as one advances in Krishna consciousness. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in the societies of devotees and is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens, and gradually one attains firm faith and in due course develops into attraction and devotion. Now, there's faith in the principles, faith in the understanding that is given in scripture of Krishna consciousness, of Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. There's also faith in spiritual practice. We need to have that too if we're really going to advance. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in the Madhurya Kandambani, he says, first, the qualification for bhakti is Shraddha or faith. Shraddha is firm trust in the import of the bhakti scriptures. It also means to have a genuine desire to undertake the activities described in those scriptures and a strong desire to attain the goal. So if we have, going back to our idea of resolutions and purpose and goals, if we have such a goal, if we have a spiritual goal, it's going to require some determination, and it's going to require the genuine desire to undertake those activities. Fortunately, those activities are not a mystery. Our acharyas have told us about what those activities are, of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. The nine processes of devotional service, they're there very clearly for us, you know, to be able to follow and to be able to make spiritual advancement. Now, there's an interesting reciprocal relationship between knowledge and faith. While knowledge leads to faith, faith also engenders Vedic knowledge. Very famous verse from Sritashvatara Upanishad is, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So with faith, knowledge is revealed within the heart. And as more and more knowledge is revealed within the heart, once faith becomes stronger. So it just continues to go like that. So the highest purpose of every human being is to realize the purpose of life, the aim of life, and service to Krishna is the highest activity or welfare work one could perform. In today's purport, Srila Prabhupada gave this example of watering the root of the tree. When we water the root of the tree, of course, the whole tree is nourished. Anyone who's done any gardening knows that, well, of course, there are some trees that do take in nourishment through the leaves, but for the most part, you know, you need to water the root. It is most effective. You water the root, and then all the nutrients, everything, water goes up into the tree, the branches, the leaves, the twigs, blossoms, flowers, everything becomes nourished from that simple act of watering. So that is the analogy for how serving Krishna benefits the entire world, benefits everyone. Now, about five verses later in Bhagavad Gita, we hear, all purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. So what is the purpose behind them? The purpose behind them, of course, is devotional service to Krishna. And the Vedas are filled with so much different information that sometimes the Vedas are even criticized by some of the Vedic literatures themselves. Bhagavad Gita often talks about, Krishna says, do not be waylaid by the flowery words of the Vedas. And in this purport, Prabhupada talked about when one performs devotional service to Krishna, they no longer have any obligations to forefathers, this and that. In other words, it's not necessary to do other activities of worship. We don't have to do oblations to the Pitris of the forefathers. In other words, all obligations are taken care of if one is serving Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything, the Adi Purusham. He is everything. There is nothing different from him, but at the same time, there is difference because of his variegated energies. So as we understand that God is behind everything, God is part of everything, we are part of God, everything that we see, everything that we know is part of God, there is nothing different from God, but at the same time, there is relationship with God. This is the great wonder. And Lord Chaitanya gave us this philosophy of achinta bheda bheda tattva, this simultaneously oneness and difference. Right? In other words, we are one with God, and yet we are different from God. God is very great, very huge. God is the creator of everything. We are very small. So how are we the same? We are of similar quality. Example is given is like you have the sun and you have the light rays coming from the sun, or you have a great fire and the sparks coming out of the fire. Same quality. You have the light, you have the heat, you have the same qualities, but in very small particles. So we are those small particles, those rays of the great sun of Krishna. And our job, our position, is to remember that. Is simply to get back to our original position of our loving relationship with God and become, again, part of his family. We want to become dear to Krishna. And when we become dear to Krishna, Krishna becomes dear to us. We were reading, at least in my last Sunday class, about Krishna's mood towards his devotees. How he is so much appreciative of his devotees, and how he actually gives himself to his devotees. He is that kind, he is that merciful, that even though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what are we? You know, tiny little bits of billions and billions of us, the jiva souls out there, but yet Krishna is concerned for every single one of us. Krishna has love for every single living entity, every jiva, because they are part and parcel of him. They are of him, they are from him, they are his, and he is ours. And so for the devotee, there is this idea of possessiveness. The idea that I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. Now, how can Krishna be mine? There's about, 67 gazillion other living entities that all think that Krishna is there. But that is part of the greatness of Krishna. Krishna can make every single one of us feel special. We are special. It's not feel like, but we are special. And how can Krishna do this? I can't conceive of it. It's totally beyond the human intelligence to understand, but yet we know it's true. We experience it, we feel it, we hear it, we read it. That Krishna is able to reciprocate with unlimited living entities simultaneously and has that special relationship with every single one of us. Even in this material world, Krishna is dwelling within our hearts as the Supersoul, the Paramatma, within each one of us. And sometimes people say, well, can I know God? Can I hear God? Can I see? Krishna, God is always there. Krishna's there in the heart. Our difficulty is making our mind be quiet and listen. Usually we can't hear God because our mind is so loud. Our mind is always going, isn't it? Always so many thoughts, so many ideas, so many concerns. But if we sort of put that aside, we can give that up, and particularly we meditate deeply on the holy name of the Lord, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Maha Mantra is like a string, like a life, like a line that connects our heart to Krishna. It's just like, it's because especially in Kali Yuga, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he gave us this wonderful gift of the holy name. The holy name is non-different than Krishna. Krishna is his name. We can't always see that, but we can feel the connection. We can feel that relationship with Krishna when we chant his name. So that's sometimes a good resolution for the next year, to improve our chanting. Or to improve our hearing, to improve our reading, to hear about Krishna, to preach about Krishna, to tell others about Krishna. So as devotees, we want to grow, we want to change, we want to progress in spiritual life. Remaining stagnant is not a good option. It actually kind of wears on us. Devotees, when they feel stagnant, can almost feel a lack of joyfulness. And we want to be joyful. This process is called prasanatma, joyful. We want to be joyful in execution of Krishna consciousness. So I was thinking of some of the resolutions for next year. We might want to base them around things like how we might come closer to Krishna, how we might feel his presence more in our life, how our love for Krishna might grow, how our surrender, our dependence on the Lord would increase, how our mode of service might deepen and expand, or how our faith and purpose will become stronger in our pursuit of Krishna consciousness. So I'll leave you with Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-28. Krishna says, my devotees should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Okay. Questions, comments, thoughts? One. Got the microphone.
Anyone has questions?
Mother Sukaran.
So just to summarize, what would you advise to help us develop our love for Krishna? Just in a short summary,
how do we develop our love for Krishna? How do we increase that? There's no secret. It's an open book. We kind of all know what it is, but it's the execution that sometimes gets tricky. We all know that hearing, chanting, remembering, serving. These are the processes that bring us closer to Krishna. I would say, if we think, well, I'm doing those, but I'm not feeling like I'm doing as, I think service to devotees, an association with devotees, very important. We please Krishna, and we please Prabhupada very much in that way. And for myself, a lot of it, I think, is a matter of really deeply trying to increase our hearing and chanting. You know, chanting around nicely, hearing them. It's not so easy. I've been trying for 50-some years and still working at it, you know. Thank you. Yes.
I was thinking, very nice class, first of all. I was thinking, to progress in spiritual path, probably most of us need some consistently persistent in our sadhana. Mm-hmm. Also some abstinence, that certain thing I don't want to do anymore, just cut down, I don't want to do that. Mm. Where do you get this willpower from within that makes you succeed? Or how does it increased or decreased?
Well, Krishna empowers us from within. The guru empowers us from within.
So is he biased? He's like, he likes you, he doesn't like me, so he's good.
No, he likes you, he doesn't like me. No. Krishna reciprocates according to our desire. And I was just reading, I can't remember whether it was in Bhaktisamrita Sindhu or Bhaktisandarbha. Anyway, the point Jiva Goswami was making is that to the degree that we are surrendered, to the degree that we are executing Krishna consciousness, you know, deeply, sincerely, to that degree, Krishna reciprocates and shows himself to us, basically. In other words, I've said this before, and it's so simple that I don't know whether I'm communicating this properly. But to advance in Krishna consciousness, you just really have to want to. Right? It's desire. It's all about desire. If you desire it strongly, Krishna will give you, will guide you, will give you the ability, will show you. It's all about desire. Mm. Do we desire Maya? Do we desire Krishna? Usually it's in between. Some of both, right? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to swing that balance where I desire Krishna more and more and Maya less and less, right? Till we get to, till finally we get to a point, it's kind of like a tipping point, at least I'm hoping that it is in the future, when, you know, when basically we really just want Krishna. And even if we're not completely pure, that desire is there. And Krishna sees that desire and he helps us the entire way.
Thank you.
Yeah. You here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. It was a very wonderful class. So one line when you're saying, what is the purpose of a life, that really touched me. Like, what is the purpose of my life? Like
purpose of your life?
Yeah. So you were saying that. So like definitely, I see that whatever I'm doing, do the best so that the result and whatever comes out best. But really, how will I know what is the true purpose of my life?
Well, how do you know what the true purpose of your life is? There's two parts to it. One is we all have the same purpose. That purpose is to understand that we are the spirit soul, that we are part and parcel of Krishna, that we have a relationship, a loving relationship with Krishna, and to realize that, Krishna Prema. And that's even more important than saying getting out of the material world or mukti or liberation, because that's automatic. That's automatic for the devotee. We don't even worry about that. If we love Krishna, Krishna takes care of us, and he's not going to leave us here in the material world. Now, after that, you might say, yeah, but I seem like I'm an individual. I'm a little different than the person next to me, and right? And so we may all have an individual purpose, an individual mission that Krishna might give us while we're in this material world. That sometimes is a little bit harder to discern. If you have a spiritual master, the spiritual master can help you, you know, with those things, because following those instructions and pleasing the spiritual master automatically satisfies that. But I think each one of us has to find out within ourselves, and that comes through prayer, reflection, chanting, associating, talking to other devotees. What should I be doing? What do I need to do to make spiritual advancement myself and to help others? To bring others to this state of Krishna consciousness, or, you know, to serve others. Yeah. Right? Wonderful. So the big goal is kind of the same for all of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then there's your individual path within that, that you have to find.
Thank you, Rudy.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Over on women's side.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. In your lecture, you said this one line, how fate brings us closer to knowledge. I was just curious about, like, how, because, like, I said, like, fate is like love, right? And, like, love blinds somebody, right? So how does, like, fate bring us closer to knowledge?
Okay. I'm turning 74 years old tomorrow, and I'm kind of half deaf. So you say very loudly and clearly.
Sorry. You said that fate brings us closer to knowledge, right?
What is close to knowledge?
Fate.
Yes.
Fate.
Okay.
And isn't fate like love? And doesn't like love blind people? Like, you know, that's what I've like heard that saying before, right? So how does like fate bring us closer to knowledge?
I think love and faith are closely connected. I think if one has faith, there almost has to be a component of love there. That's why I was saying that that faith is, there has to be knowledge, but there also has to be the religion, the sentiment, the emotion has to be the heart and the head. Both have to be there. If it's just logic, yeah, you know, it doesn't have much, bhakti.
Yeah.
Bhakti is love and devotion. That's what we want. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. In the back. Can you take it back?
I was just wondering, you were saying like we can't hear Super Soul because of our minds. Is it also faith, not believing that Krishna could speak to us and tell us what to do? Do you think that's a part?
Good point. Yeah, I think that you're saying it's a lack of faith if we think that Krishna can't. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there's a point of being overly humble. If we say, oh, I can't do this, or I couldn't do this, or Krishna can't do, no, that's like limiting Krishna, right? No, part of our faith should be, and that's actually, Prabhupada was talking about that in this purport, that very point, wasn't he? He was saying faith is knowing that Krishna consciousness is sufficient for everything. In other words, that one can be successful just through the execution of the process of Krishna consciousness. So through our sadhana, through our devotion, through all that, yes, we can be successful. Why not? Why not hear Krishna? Why not see Krishna? It's possible. Hmm. At least we even if we're not at the moment, we need to have faith that that is possible. Okay, good point. Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you very much for your wonderful class. You mentioned something about surrender. I understand that surrender is something that implies something that we need to give up in order to surrender. We have And also you talk about faith and love. All together, it are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in order for somebody to have a faith in Krishna or surrender to Krishna, that requires that the person is have enough about the faith in the material world and the proposal of material world.
To
otherwise,
you're saying to surrender to Krishna requires that has someone has what about the material world? You said
had enough, you know, learned a lot, and understand that the material world and the Maya doesn't bring
right.
you
right.
what you were
right.
what we're expecting.
Right. Right.
You know, from happiness and yeah. And love to Krishna and all of that.
Yeah,
so,
good
I
point.
Wonder if there is another reason for somebody to surrender to Krishna rather than being beat up by Maya all the time, and then there's no other option other than surrender and to Krishna and develop faith to Krishna. There's a song that Prabhupada is likes a lot, which is Hari Hari Vipale. And the person who was talking about that was advanced devotee, that he was saying that he neglected, you know, the love for Krishna for so long. And he was left with no options other than surrender to Krishna and to serve Krishna and chant the holy name.
Could you state your basic point in about one sentence, just to kind of summarize this, about surrendering and what are you trying to say exactly? Well, yeah, through knowledge, through experience, through, in other words, yeah, in other words, Krishna would rather not have to beat us down by Maya to get us to surrender, but sometimes that's what it takes for us. But one can also just experience the happiness of Krishna consciousness. I mean, there is actual happiness in chanting, in hearing, right? Taking prasadam. And in other words, those things become impetus for us as there is some spiritual enjoyment, some spiritual experience along the way. And I mean, sometimes we look at the process of Krishna consciousness and like ruchi taste is kind of way up here along. But no, I would maintain that most devotees have some experience of feeling of some taste of Krishna consciousness. I don't think you can continue doing this process, which does take some surrender, it does take some austerity, but we have to have the other as well. You know, the higher taste? There has to be the higher taste to give up, ultimately, to give up Maya. I mean, without that, you know, and that's Bhagavad Gita, you know, that's what it says. Without that higher taste, you know, we're not going to just all of a sudden become austere and, you know, all of that. So when we experience the greater pleasure of Krishna consciousness, we're able to give up the lower taste of material sense gratification. And it still may be a struggle for us, you know, because both are there competing often, you know. But I would say that the longer you're here, the longer Krishna consciousness is winning. You know, becoming more successful in your life. Hopefully. I don't know. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, well, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.